Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Devin Simone.
And I'm Davon Rogers.
And this is MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Ooh, Challenge USA edition. Yes, Tori and Anissa are passing the mic to us to dive into the first ever season of the Challenge USA.
And we are so excited. I mean, so excited to dive into this season, aka get all the tea with you fans, especially since it's the first time ever our cast is exclusively competitors from Big Brother, Survivor, Love Island, and The Amazing Race.
And you already know I'll be rooting for Big Brother over here, okay? You all know I've done 3 seasons of Big Brother where I was also America's first African-American favorite house guest. Woo-hoo. And I've also done a few seasons of The Challenge.
And I am a 2-time Challenge finalist, catch that, and host of The Challenge Aftermath. Also, can I just throw in, TJ said that my Challenge finale was one of the most epic and one of his favorites of all time. I just have to put that out there. And if you want to go back really far, I was a cast member on The Real World Brooklyn. Don't judge me on that piece, but I just have to say, because of that, you know, I don't know that I'll ever be rooting for Big Brother.
Hold on.
They don't have to change my mind about it.
If you love me, you gotta love them. We a package deal.
Okay, fine. I love them. All right. So that first episode was amazing. Davon, what are you thinking so far, and what are you looking forward to this season?
This season is going to be insane. I'm so excited. I'm mad because I ain't on it, but I'm so excited to watch it. Like, this is crazy. Like, what? But to see these different shows come in and compete, I'm telling you, the challenge is literally a sport, and it's a different show all in itself. And you see so many people come in and they're like, I could do that. I could do the challenge.
Put your money
where your mouth is, because now we get to see you put in the work.
Right.
So that's what I'm excited to see.
All those armchair quarterbacks that for years are like, I can do the challenge. I've done something like this before. Nope. The challenge is its own game. It's very different. And it's, you know, it's a new era of the challenge that it's opened up to other shows, because they were very protective of it. We were very protective of it for a long time. It used to be just Road Rules, you know, Real World back in the day. And now we're seeing it take on a new life, which overall, it's cool to expand the family, but you're going to have to earn your spot in the challenge family. You're going to have to earn your spot in the challenge family. You do got to earn your stripes. And I don't mean by going into elimination, mainly because I don't ever go in them. But I do mean in general by, you know, playing the game, getting your hands dirty.
But I love it, though. I love seeing how Aza and Kylan went into the elimination, because I feel that is where you, because even though you didn't and you still made it to the final, third place. Amazing, right? You did what you had to do. But I feel like a lot of challengers are made. Well, let me speak for me. I was made down there on the elimination floor. That's where I was made. Like, I've done 2 seasons and my elimination record is 5-2. So she's working. Okay.
Girl,
there is work that has been done. And so to see them win and succeed and come out of that, I'm like, yeah, you done been in the mud. Like, yes. It's such a good feeling. I'm so excited about this season. I can't even explain it.
I mean, it's gotten bigger, it's gotten better, and we have AI involved, basically, algorithm involved, picking the partners. Like, this is going to be certainly one to watch.
You know what I love about the algorithm? It's TJ's way of forcing them not to stay with their alliance.
Exactly.
It's TJ's way of saying, you can be mad at Love Island today, but a Love Island member might be your partner next week. So then what are you going to do? You're going to have to be on your toes, because you're going to have to work with anybody. You might work with your best friend, or you may even work with your enemy. It's up to the algorithm, and it's perfect.
Exactly. It levels the playing field. Even when, you know, looking at the Reddits, because if you don't know, guys, we are Reddit lurkers and Twitter and Instagram. We see your comments and all the things. We and so let us know what you're thinking. You know, tweet us, comment. We're looking. Yes. But, you know, when the cast was released, I feel like some people kind of, you know, looked at the photos or fans of the show were like, okay, my money's on, you know, these people to win.
Immediately.
Even Asa, when we talk to her, she speaks about how, like, being intimidated by, like, a Tyson, for example, or yeah. Angela. But then you have this, and it's the thing no one saw coming. And it's like, okay, that changes everything. This really is, and TJ says this, it's anyone's game.
Like James. Yep. No one really, there was no hype around James. There was none. Oh, he was on The Amazing Race. He won, but he's not going to do well in the challenge. And the first thing we saw, he saved his challenge life.
I mean, went around. Props. Can I just get a round of applause for James?
Yes, that's the first thing he did.
You know, I don't like to pick favorites, and I playfully tease against Big Brother, but really, I like any good players. Mm-hmm. And I already love the way that James is playing. And I think that was just brilliant gameplay. So excited to see it play out. And so excited to, you know, share this journey with everyone listening, yes. our audience, sort of the extended challenge family. And you, Tavon.
Like, yes!
Sis, we've been talking about doing so. I've seen people tweet that we need to be together and do something together. I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen the tweets and the comments. I've even gotten text messages about it. And so I'm excited that it's finally here.
Girl, this is the closest you and I are going to get to doing an actual challenge together.
Girl, say that again twice because they call, but I'm no. The way my bones are set up now.
Right.
No.
These auntie knees, hold on.
Right, not auntie knees. Let me go pluck my one gray eyebrow hair.
Right.
It's poking out in this moment.
But this is going to be so good. I love our dynamic, the way we bounce off of each other. Like, is no other person that I would rather do this with.
Also, you guys, this will be the place no other podcast will have where we are going to try and get the juiciest answers. Like,
man, listen, y'all know. If you follow me in these Twitter streets of Twitterville, right. USA, you already know. I don't play around when it comes to getting the tea. I'm nosy. I want to know what's going on. And so Devin is the same way over at Reddit University. And so we are trying to figure out, what do you want to know? So send us your questions. Let us know, because we are really going to dive in and get them to answer the hot, juicy, juicy questions.
All right. Well, we have an incredible guest for you today. You know her from Big Brother 23. She was a member of the infamous Cookout Alliance. And she came home with an epic elimination win today after a very rocky and mathematically incorrect challenge start. Aza Awasam is on the podcast today. Now let's get into this interview with her.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Probiotics aren't a trend anymore. They're a mainstay in the health and wellness aisle of your favorite store. And Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls are the easiest way to introduce a probiotic into your routine. I mean, they're just what they sound like. Adorable little pearls that couldn't be easier to take. But they still pack that probiotic punch. Each tiny pearl has 1 billion active cultures and protect against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort. And they actually support both digestive and vaginal health, so that's a win-win. And according to my little fact sheet here, they're designed with a triple layer coating that protects each pearl from stomach acid, so they can make it all the way to your small intestine where they're needed most. You probably didn't think we'd be talking about the small intestine today, did you? Well, digestive health is kind of important. If you know, you know. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
Azza, we are so excited to have you here.
So excited.
Now, you already told us that you're an open book.
Yeah.
And Devon and I told you, good, because this is the show for that.
Man, listen, we like to read.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Nosy. So,
thank you. We are. You just call this the Nosy Challenge Podcast. But I got to know, all right? So this is the Challenge USA. Like, this is huge. They've never done anything like the Challenge in this way before. And you get that call, Azza, saying, hey, we want you to be on the Challenge. What are the first thoughts that go through your head? And how many items did you pack? How many clothes did you pack? Like, because I'm looking at you now and you look phenomenal. So I have to imagine that was one of the first things.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, the funny thing is I got the call the first time and I said, no, I had just done Big Brother, which is very, very emotionally and mentally taxing. It was on me at least. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't felt like I really healed from the show. I still had a lot of resentment about things that happened in the game and stuff. And I literally swore off reality television. I was like, I am never going to be out of television again. They called me in October and I said no, and I said no. And they kept on, they called again in January and I was like, no. And I finally got to a point where I was kind of able to move on from the show and forgive a lot of things and stop holding grudges. And literally the next day after I did that, I got a call again when I was in LA. And they were like, can we just talk to you for 10 minutes? And they talked to me and I was like, you know what? Let me just do it. And I did it. And I literally decided to go 7 days before I left. I had lost my passport when I got out the house. They got me a new passport, had me do my physical. And literally within 6 days, I was in Argentina. It was crazy. I had no prep. I had no, like, I didn't get, like, you know, I used all the clothes in my closet from, like, Big Brother and stuff that I already had. I don't know how to swim. I was trying to find a YMCA to go find some swimming. 6 days before I left, I literally decided to go 6 days before. And like everyone else, all my Big Brother friends were just like, what the heck are you doing here? Because I know you have not been training for the past 5 months.
Girl.
I do have a question for you, Azza, because you did say that, you know, you had a hard time forgiving certain situations and you had just started to open the door to forgiving. So what was one of the most difficult things from your previous season of Big Brother that was hard for you to forgive, knowing that potentially these people would be on this next adventure with you?
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Big Brother and I'm so entertained by it, but I just didn't realize how different it is to be in the house and do that stuff. And I took the game so seriously just in the beginning. And then when the mission was attached, I took it so seriously. But I took it very seriously. And the way that I played the game, I was very pretty just transparent about everything. So I did that. And for the most part, it worked in my favor that since people knew I was being transparent with them, they treated me well as well. That isolation, man, in those last final days, those last 7 days, the isolation, things getting to people, you know, I had close friends in the house that we ended up, you know, the game gets whatever. And like, I was very shell-shocked leaving the finale because I didn't have any buffer of jury to kind of recover. I just kind of spent 85 days in the house and then just was suddenly out in the world and like suddenly, you know, seeing all these people that have such opinions on you and like, you know, and you're still trying to heal over what happened in the house and things like that. And I didn't know that it would take as much of a toll as it did. Even though it's a game, because that's your life for 85 days, it really feels like when somebody does something to you in the game, it feels like they're actually hurting you as a person. And it took me some time to get over it. It really honestly just did.
Yeah.
I am someone who I usually don't hold grudges. And I was very surprised to find me literally holding grudges, and I had to move forward for my own mental health for me to be able to move on and be happy.
So, you know, Big Brother, we're locked away. The only air we get is the outside. We get to go in the backyard, right? How did it feel to be able to go out and party and drink, girl?
I felt like I was on vacation. I was so happy. Oh my gosh. Like, oh my goodness. That was so, like, that's the best. That's one of the things that makes this such, like, I'm sorry, I am a former huge Big Brother fan. I'm a former super fan. I don't think I can ever step in a house again, but sign me up for a challenge any day. Any day. I love that. I love that we can go outside. I love that we can go to the bar. I love that like, you know, the cameramen have personalities. You're not like, it's not just cameras, you know, yep. they're people yep. and they're cool and they're funny. Yeah.
Yes.
They're funny. You know, when I'm doing my confession, I'm talking to people. I love that. Oh, it yes. was so refreshing, man. Oh, it was so great. I love that.
You had a flawless strategy that made it all the way to the final three. Let me tell you something. I've played Big Brother 3 times and I couldn't even tell you what final three looks, smell, taste, feel, touch, nothing. I couldn't tell you nothing about that life, right? And mm-hmm. so the strategy really worked in your favor. And congratulations to that, because that's not an easy thing to do.
Thank
However,
you.
Going into the challenge, that particular strategy ain't going to work. So my question yes. for you is, what was your strategy going into the challenge house?
Yeah, I literally had not watched any episodes before going in. I didn't know what this was about. I just knew that it was a lot of physical stuff. I have only been in a fight once. I was 8 years old and I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, crap, I'm going to really get my ass beat. Like, I'm going to come on this show and get my ass beat. And I didn't even have time to come up or think of a strategy. I was literally thinking on the go while I was in the house. But when I got in the house, I did see some similarities. One, I was happy that the challenge allows you to play a little bit more of a transparent game than you do a Big Brother. And I'm the type of person where in Big Brother, like, if I want you to go home, I don't care if I can't win comps. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I want you to go home. I get away with it because I can't win comps. So they're like, well, you know what? She can't win comps, so I'm going to leave her alone. But I'm free to say whatever I feel like. And that was so refreshing in that house, to be able to just kind of be more transparent with things. So I would say I tried to adjust as best as I could. I felt socially I was great, but I was very limited physically. And I wish that I had said yes in October so that I could have prepared myself in the best physical condition I could have been, because you can go only so far in a challenge social-wise.
It's interesting that you said that you went in, you didn't have time to have a strategy because you said yes 7 days, 6 or 7 days before, whereas your partner Kylan in this. So Kylan talks yeah. about, you know, I watched, fully which prepared. Was, which is smart. He's like, I watched, you know, I think in this episode, he said, I watched 10 previous seasons of the challenge
yep.
and I looked at who won. And then I started to study them. But the reality is you and Kylan in this first episode end up in the same space, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you both end up having to go to elimination. You guys both end up killing it, though, in hindsight, right? Like, we watched you. First of all, can I just say, especially now that we know you didn't pre-plan any of this, the beautiful way in which you passed out, like, you look so beautiful. I am not kidding. Oh, I'm sitting there looking and I'm just like, wow, she is stunning. It was just like a glow. Did you see that, Davon? I feel like
I did.
It was just beautiful. So, I mean, props to you on that.
We saw the melanin glistening.
Yes,
girl.
Just like, beautiful, beachy glow, just effortless. I mean, you weren't even really that conscious for it, yet you were slaying right. the game. So thank you for that, that
thank
beauty
you.
There. But I want to know, in hindsight, so sitting where we are now after episode mm-hmm. one, coming off of that elimination, do you think it was better for things to have gone down the way that they did, meaning you lost that first challenge, you ended up in elimination, you then won that elimination. Do you think that actually was more empowering and better for you? Plus, you guys got the bonus money, right? Than mm-hmm. if you had just not gotten last place in the challenge daily. Like, which would you, standing on this side,
you know,
now, which would you have preferred?
Yeah. So one thing that's really interesting, and me and Kylan will go to bat. We're not being delusional when we say this at all. If we had not messed with our equation, I'm quite certain me and Kylan would have won. Kylan, who had literally been researching this game, and I knew he had, already knew how to rappel down buildings and taught me. Mm-hmm. If you notice, you can see how far ahead we are from Kira and Cashel. And he showed me what mm-hmm. to do. And we literally flew down the building that people downstairs didn't even think that we were looking at the equation. We messed up on that one equation, which...
what happened there with the equation? So, like, what...
Yeah, so this is... okay, so this is what happened. Me and Kylan in Big Brother, we butted heads a lot. And I didn't... I didn't like him game-wise, you know? And in the game, we had a lot of differences. We ended up making a deal and working together a little bit more in the end. But I was always that person who was the thorn in Kylan's like foot. Like, I would not listen to him for nothing. And before this competition, I was like, okay, you know what, I need to definitely I can't be like that here. And I told him, I said, look, I have no problem submitting to you. I did not want to have any, if we mess up in this challenge, I did not want to have to do with me being stubborn. So what I did was I just listed off the equations and he just sounded them off. Now, what would have helped, what we talked about afterward was like, okay, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have taken the force of everything. Maybe we should have had a second opinion. Me, I was just listing off the equations and he was telling me what it was. And when we came down, he accidentally messed up on just one equation by like 10, by like just 10 digits. And that's what messed us up. I basically was just sounding off everything to him and he was giving that. That's why we kind of both, if you notice, none of us kind of put any blame on each other with the elimination. Yeah. It was just like, all right, you know what? We just got to do what we got to do. Yeah. So it was, I felt bad for slowing him down because they did a very good job. I love that you guys said look graceful. When I tell you the animal sounds I was making walking up them stairs, bruh. Like, it was like, Kyle was literally, he almost had to carry me. I was making some very, very labored breathing. And I had never had a child. Like, it was not pretty. But, you know, I felt bad because I felt like I slowed him down coming up the stairs, you know. He felt bad because he's like, dang, I messed up on that one equation. But at the end of the day, we're like, you know what? What can we take from this? How can we build from this? How can we be better? And how can we make sure that we come out of that elimination with the win?
And so that kind of goes back to that original point. So do you think in the end, you guys coming at, like having that whole experience and going through the elimination in the end was better and more empowering for you moving forward in this game? Or do you wish like, nah, I hate that I was in elimination?
I think it worked well for me because I think how I'm able to thrive in a lot of environments and not be targeted is by people not thinking I'm a threat. So. Right.
Underestimating
you. Yeah, and I thrive on that. I love when people underestimate me because I'm just like, all right, I'm here back in the whole time, you know? So I think it did help me in that sense because I do think if we had won, that hadn't happened, we probably would have won that daily. And from seeing the comments that people have said, Big Brother was already a target and I could see, you know, possibly them trying to target us much sooner, you know, later in the game. But with that, you know, and with me kind of coming out from the bottom instead, I think it did help me because I was chilling, girl. I was cooking, minding my business. I was fine. After that, people just left.
So let me ask you this: like knowing the history of you and Kylan in the BB house and how you two did have a lot of conflicting moments. When TJ says you can choose your own partner, how did you end up with Kylan? Like who chose who? How did that come about?
So I wanted to be with DX. And so I turned DX first and DX said, I don't want to be with any Big Brother people. And by the time I finished that conversation with DX, literally everyone else had a partner. And I was like, and I was surprised that Kylan didn't have one. And literally me and Kylan didn't have partners. We were like, okay, you know what? Cool. And like, he was like, are you afraid of heist? I lied to him. I said, no. And that's how we became partners. But, I originally went to DX and DX didn't want to be partners with me. So I was like, all right, well, I got to find somebody then and not pick Kylan.
Girl, so when he told you that he didn't want to be your partner, did you take that as a strategic thing he was doing? He didn't want Big Brother? Or did you, you know, your antennas start clicking like, hold on.
Was it personal?
Right.
Yeah. It didn't click off yet because I wanted to win the first challenge. So I wanted to work with somebody. So I personally... I get where his argument I come from. I didn't want to work with anyone Big Brother. I didn't care working Big Brother. I thought we had the best advantage coming in because you're coming with people who are competitors and you know exactly how they think. So I immediately went to DX and then when Kylan was available, Kylan is a great competitor. He has the capability to win challenges. I wanted to work with somebody strong because as you guys know, I signed up for the show 7 days ago. So
I need help. Somebody
exactly.
Help me.
Yeah. So I came to DX. I was like, help me. DX was like, nah, bro. And then the cop was down like, help me. And he was like, all right, I got you.
DX told you ain't no cookout. We ain't bringing no hot dogs, no hamburgers, no nothing. We ain't doing that over here.
Right. Yes, but take a little pic someplace else. I was like, oh, okay.
Right. So you guys, like, coming into the house with 4 out of 6 of the most dominating alliance in Big Brother, most successful dominating alliances in Big Brother history, plus 4 other Big Brother players. Did you feel confident that you guys could potentially steamroll over here too?
I thought we had the numbers, but I knew there was, I mean, I had some little things, you know, like for me with Xavier, I was like, man, you won already. If this girl touches the final, he gonna win. So I low-key was like, I don't want him to do that well, you know? So we all like, I think that numbers wise, definitely, but with, I think CBS knew exactly what they were doing, picking people who just finished a show with fresh feelings, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh, they
that,
know.
You know?
Yeah. That casting department, all of man, they know.
They know what they're doing. And plucking us in here when it's like, yo, we just finished being traumatized, bruh. Like, we finally recovered from our trauma, and we've seen this again. All them old feelings come right back, and you sitting here thinking the same, have the same paranoid thoughts you thought before, you know? So
yep.
I think it was a beautiful cocktail, depending on what you're looking for. You're looking for a disaster? Great cocktail. Great.
I mean, the whole thing seemed like a perfect disaster waiting to happen in the best way possible. Like, I'm already hooked after episode one. I'm curious, what did you think when you saw the strategy of the Love Islanders? Because I don't know about you guys, but it seems like everybody else is coming in with a certain level of kind of, I don't want to say seriousness, but kind of like easing in to feel it out. And then you have these Love Island folks who I don't know if they think that hey, they man, are at an Ariana Grande concert. Like, even when they talk about, okay, we're going to try and change our strategy and make friends, and their way of doing that was, like, twerking when you guys went out. Right. What's your thought in watching this? Like, how are you feeling?
You know, not at Coachella. I got to give props to them, and this is why, because, like, one thing about them that they seem to be, because, okay, a couple things. One, Big Brother and Survivor are strategic shows where you're thinking about that the whole entire time. My eyes are open a lot in the house from having conversations with them, because they will listen to like stories from Big Brother and Survivor and just be like, oh my gosh, because they've never had to play a social game before. Love Island, it's, you know, you're surrounded by beautiful flowers and gorgeous people and all these atmospheres that put you in a great, you know, feeling to want to have love. You're not literally like thinking in the back of your head how you're going to grip this person over or that. So I could see that they had a little bit of a kind of a shock of like, oh, wait, people are like taking this thing seriously. This isn't a game, you know? But the one thing, though, that they did do very well that Big Brother could learn a lesson from was they stuck together. Like they had that hive mentality. And that hive mentality is so important in alliances. Having that, like, you know, of knowing that you guys are together and you guys have trust in that goes a long way and can end up surpassing the most strategic person. I've always been the person who I believe, how I played my game was, I believe that genuine bonds can surpass alliances, can surpass strategy, and can and really last in games better than alliances. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. So I want to go back to this challenge. You and Kylan went in the first heat, and we call the first heat are the guinea pigs. We get to watch and learn what to do and what not to do from them. Right. You never want to be first. Right. And so going first, how did that feel? But also, how did it feel having to watch six other rounds?
Yeah.
After? How did that
feel? No, that was I learned that lesson real quick when we went first. How much of a disadvantage it is to be first, because once everyone saw us mess up, it was like, all right, as long as we don't mess up, we're good. We could spend all the time on the, you know, these walls. It was disheartening, like, you know, especially in a moment of not knowing what happens next, and like each time you see people go down this wall and they're making it. David almost had me. I was like, oh, and he, you know, he still ended up passing by, and it did. It was a very sobering feeling to kind of like be, you know, it's a lot of emotion. I'm in Argentina. Oh my gosh, I decided to show, I'm meeting all these people. Oh my goodness, I almost fainted. Oh my God, what am I? Whoa, did I put, you know, did I bite off more than I can chew? Like, it was, I was definitely, you know, sincere definitely started to creep in, just because I was just like, okay, did I, you know, I'm the type of person where I just go after things. So maybe I did a little bit too much. Maybe I'm not ready for this. That was a huge eye-opener when I fainted. I mean, I was embarrassed, number one. But two, I was like, dang, these people have been preparing for months and I haven't, like, crap. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So I was scared.
And during, I want to know, during the elimination, because I got chills when you guys came out on top. Like, I just, like, props to you guys. And that's one of the hard ones. Like, that is certainly one of the hard eliminations. So how did you feel, though, when you are getting geared up, getting ready to go in the elimination, mm-hmm. and your opponents, Giovanni and Seeley, are smack-talking you and yes. yelling? Like, what does that fuel you? Does it make you mad? Are you like, y'all look crazy? What's going through your head?
Well, I've always been the silent type. I was not only silent there, I was silent that entire day, because I actually, just let you know, I did not want to go against Seeley and Giovanni. I personally found Giovanni hilarious, and I thought Seeley was a sweetheart. And I, of course, I felt James and Shannon were sweethearts as well. But I had kind of like gotten to know Giovanni and Seeley a little bit more. So I kind of didn't want to go with them because they were kind of my friends, you know? I also just had this James, which I just love watching the episode, seeing him, like, I could see that he was a gamer. Like, I could see that he would sit and observe watching people. I could see that he had the ability, and I don't mind working with gamers. Tiffany is in my alliance. I love Shan, but I need you to be a gamer that is on my side. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I can't have you be right. a gamer and I don't know what you're doing. So that's why I actually wanted to go against James. And he is such a great player. He literally turned the entire house.
I was so impressed. I mean, talk about impressed. He came in on the, because on the episode you hear him talking about, like, they're my pawns, right? And I'm playing this game. And that's yep. bold. And I feel like a lot of people think that when they get in and have a rude awakening. And yeah. the way, I also love the editors of this episode. Shout out to them for pulling up the receipts. Mm-hmm. Because when he says in his interview, oh yeah, you know, I put in a last minute effort, and they show him talking to every, it looked like he talked, he talked to the bartender, James, I'm sure, at this point. It looked like he talked to everybody in that house.
He was giving very big brother.
James put in work, bruh. We all, you saw that. I'm not crazy. We all had a decision on who was going to be the person. It was going to be James and Shannon. We weren't supposed to say who we were going to bring in. That was supposed to be quiet. James found out that night. The next morning, he started trying to game me. He was like, you know, Shannon's ready, right? I'm like, bruh, isn't you trying to intimidate
right,
me?
Right, right.
I'm like, I mean, yes. And before I knew it, Angela was telling me that day, don't worry, it's going to be James. And then she comes to me and she's like, yo, I'm scared. I don't know if you can beat Shannon. I'm like, what the heck? Like, that whole morning, James put in work.
James killed it with that. Like, props to James. Oh, yeah. I mean, man. Yeah.
I couldn't do nothing. I was so mad. I sat in my bunk bed and just took out my Bible so I wouldn't. And I didn't talk to anybody the whole day because I was pissed. I was like, this dude just changed the whole game, whatever. So I actually didn't. I was quiet that whole day. The type of person I am when I'm going into, like, things, I just get very serious. I don't want to get distracted or anything like that. So I just was in complete tunnel vision. I remember when I faced Seeley, I didn't even look at her. I literally just looked above her. I was just very focused on the task at hand. Their catcalling didn't really bother me. I find Giovanni funny. I was just focused on, like, okay, how it gets to win. Because the other thing too is I told you guys, I watched one challenge episode before coming here, and the one episode I watched was this rope one. And I saw the strategy and how they how, you know, the people end up winning. And when I saw it, I wasn't so happy. I was like, okay, at least I'm familiar with something. So let me just focus on this. Let's focus on this and get this win.
That's so awesome. See, me during my time on the challenge, I won two rope challenges. Not the one you did, but I definitely won two rope challenges. So I know it's difficult. So I guess my question to you is, in what area or when do you think you and Kylan succeeded in the elimination that you weren't able to do during the daily challenge?
I think we already had that trust, but it was that openness to listen to each other. So during that day, you know, because I did a full 180, I was like, all right, I didn't listen to Kylan and BB, let me listen to him now. But I think I kind of did that too much in the sense of, like, I just kind of let him do everything and I didn't really have a voice, you know, but I chose that. I said, no, I'm just going to listen to you, whatever. But we realized that you do have to have communication and talking. So with this one, what we did differently was, you know, when I had questions in the past, I didn't know if I was like, is this the way to go? I didn't voice them. Like, I didn't voice that in a challenge. Really, this time you could see me talking to Kyle. I'm like, yo, I don't understand what you're doing. Like, why do you need me to do this? Like, and knowing when to ask questions and when to just shut up, you know, on both sides.
Yeah.
Our communication, we just end up just finding some type of sync and some pattern, being in tune. And then the other thing too is great thing is I don't mind being roughed up at all. I can handle lots of things. So Kylan was throwing me like freaking potato left and right. I didn't care. Like, I just want to win.
Girl.
it was so good to watch, like, the encouragement and you like, okay, Kylan, mm-hmm. okay, what you need me to mm-hmm. do? Where do I need to go? Like, the way that you guys were playing off of each other, and at times he let you take the lead. There were times when you were giving mm-hmm. him directions and mm-hmm. he followed, you know? And it was just so good to watch the teamwork, especially coming from your history and seeing now it's like, okay, let's yeah. get it going. So I definitely was team Oz and Kylan.
Yeah, did it change the dynamic? Like, to Dee's point, you mentioned you and Kylan mm-hmm. not in a great place initially. After that moment, do you feel like it brought you guys closer? Did it squash everything that you guys had previously?
Well, we had the necessary conversations after the show. And for me with Kylan, because of the fact that we kind of had our stuff that happened in the game, I can't explain it. One, mm-hmm. you know, spending 85 days with that person on both sides, you end up knowing everything about that person. You know, they're good, they're bad, they're flaws. You know exactly what, you know, grinds the gears, what doesn't grind the gears and things like that. And after the show, we had a lot of conversations that allowed me to, like, and I always knew that in the house. I was like, Kylan, I know we can't stand each other, but I just feel like we're going to be friends outside the house. I just feel like the pressure cooker environment just turns into a different person. And outside the house, me and Kylan are really good friends. So when we came into the challenge, I already knew, okay, we're good. But I knew that I was still going to be dealing with you know, game Kylan.
Right.
But yeah. game Kylan's never going to surprise me now that I've already dealt with him in Big Brother, you know? So I'm not bothered. And I would say it kind of affirmed, yes, things with us. But I think we did the necessary work off season and with communication in allowing that to happen.
I love the way that you can differentiate between the person and the player, because I always say that there's Devon, there's Devin, there's Azza, the person, and then there's the player. Yeah. So they are definitely two totally different people. Oh, yeah. So I'm
sometimes
glad you can
I have to disagree.
Two.
I think sometimes they're two different people. I think probably most of the time. And sometimes I think people would use that as an excuse, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm kind of stressed in the house, so maybe I drink more, or I'm louder, or I'm wilder, or I'm, you know, mm-hmm. more combative, but I'm normal, you know, outside of this, like, I'm much more chill. And then you'd mm-hmm. see them outside and you're like, this is still you. No, you're still crazy. Then it sounds like with you, I said, like, you mentioned playing with your emotions. So it sounds like you're that person, like, you're kind of coming in with a genuineness that is you in real life.
Yeah.
Like, you're genuine like that, and therefore you're carrying that in the game.
But see, I think that goes to the environment, mm-hmm. how you adapt to that particular situation, because Devon on Big Brother was not the same Devon on the challenge. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them are the Devon that's sitting in here on this interview today. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And so I guess
I hear some of that sass coming out. I feel like there's a little bit of
Devon
from Big Brother.
That's just her. But I feel like different people pull different things out
yeah.
of you.
Yeah.
And I would say at least how I feel like I'm melding both of your viewpoints is that, because I look, even though I do feel I'm myself inside and out the house, in Big Brother, in these environments, things bother you like on an amplified level. So mm-hmm, you might be mm-hmm, someone mm-hmm. who, I went from, man, I had a great life, and I still do have a great life, but I cried probably one time in mm-hmm. 2020 and 2021. COVID was good for me. When I got mm-hmm. in the house, I was crying every single day. You just end up like your emotions get amplified. The little things you yeah. and the things that, you know, might not be something that bother you here, just it ends up being at such a magnified level because there's nothing else, you know, to bounce off of. You just have these people. So I see that with Kylan. I see that with myself, you know, might have emotionally reacted or said things or done things on an amplified level that if we were outside in real public, it'd be like, she probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of not doing that, were there any, you know, and people kind of acting differently in the house or having more freedom to do so, were there any interviews in watching the first episode where someone said something, you know, or did something that shocked you, like where you weren't in the room for that, right? And you're watching it back.
Yeah.
Was there anything?
I mean, I think probably one thing I'm like, I didn't really know, like, you know, people in my cast kind of wanted revenge. I thought it was just kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give grace to that. I don't agree with the word revenge, because revenge mm-hmm. kind of comes across as somebody did wrong to you and you want to jump back. And I don't think anything that the cookout did was wrong. I think if anyone truly understands what the cookout did, they saw people struggling to put actual genuine relationships that it made with people aside and accomplish a mission. And it wasn't, we weren't having fun doing this. You know what I'm saying? We weren't like taking pleasure in this stuff. It was, for a lot of us, the game wasn't really fun. We didn't really get to have fun until it got to stick. That's when we actually got to play. So when I hear people say, I want to get revenge, I'm like, okay, you might not have actually understood what we did in the first place. And if that's the case, that's only going to take life experience, understanding. I can't push you to get to that place. But I just know how much we struggled mentally inside and outside house to this day. And I think that's a very poor choice of words for people, at least one of which is someone who I consider to be a true friend of mine, DX.
Yeah. To see his confessional, I was like, whoa. And then I also had to take into consideration, granted, the intent was never to hurt anyone, because we even saw it. Like, a lot of you were hurt. I saw Tiffany. I saw you. You guys were hurt when you had to make certain decisions in the Big Brother house, because it meant taking out your friends, people you actually enjoyed. You didn't even realistically get to play your game because you were working for the greater good. And we all saw that. But, you know, kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit, going into how they feel, they didn't see it as that. They saw it as, you played me the whole time. The whole time I thought we were this, and the whole time you were working behind my back to play me. And so that's probably why they took it personal, and now they're on this revenge mission, which goes back to your point, they didn't understand what the purpose was.
Yeah, and I'm completely fine. As one who needed my own time to get over things, I know, like, I never want to take that away from anybody. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, everybody knows in my cast, when I wasn't effing with you, I was not effing with you. And you knew that. Look, I need some space. I need some time. I am hurt. Let me heal and get over this. And then I can talk. Because I can't fake the funk. It's just hard for me to. I can't do it, you know? So
I hear you, girl. Same.
I think maybe verbalizing that would have been nice. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know.
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, and there have been some people on the cast that say, yo, I need some time. And I completely respect it. I get it, you know? But let me know. You know, like, tell me that you don't tell me, oh, everything is fine and great and dandy and I'm cool if it's not. Because if it's not,
right, don't,
I
want to
make
me
sure that, don't, yeah, exactly. I want to make sure, I want to do whatever I can to help you get, whether it's space you need, whether it's whatever, whether it's you letting everyone know in the house, I don't trust that mother trucker and I want her to leave. That is fine. I'm okay with period. That, you know? But just let me know. I've always been that person, like, hey, just be transparent about it. Like, just let me know.
And it'll be really interesting watching that energy, especially the Big Brother energy, like that in the Challenge House, because, you know, like you said, there's such an emphasis on the social game in the Big Brother house, or it appears to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, the games, you know, they're, you know, of course you want to, like, win head of household and all that, but it's not like make or break. Whereas here, there are so many elements that are beyond your control, right? So there is the social aspect, and you, the game happens so fast on the Challenge, you almost don't have time to hold grudges in a way, right? Because it happens. And then when you have TJ, who throws in for the first time ever this algorithm, right? Which, you know, sort of absolves TJ from any wrongdoing. So he gets to say, I'm keeping my hands clean. But it means you guys now don't know, you know, you may have patched up with someone this week, but you don't know who your partner is going to be next week. You don't know their capabilities, their strengths, all of that. Like, what, you know, A, what is your mind thinking when you see that TJ has brought out this algorithm? And then B, I'm actually curious, out of all the males or females that are left, who, like, what would be your top two choices as a partner? Like, who would you want?
At the time? So, okay, I will say, first thing, we didn't know about this algorithm or anything, but when me and Colin were down, you know, on the ground, we're like, what if they ask if you want to switch? What do you want to do? And we decided, no, we're just going to stay partners. So I was completely cool being Kylan's partner to the end, because I had known how much Kylan had prepared for this. So I was like, I know he's been in this puzzle. I know he's been in this gym. So, like, I wanted to be with him. After that, I would have wanted to preferentially be with somebody that I knew, because of what I was working with. If I had come prepared, it might have been different. But I wanted to be, I would have still probably chosen the Big Brother person, not knowing, you know, DX felt these type of way. I would have wanted to be DX's partner. I would have put the pettiness aside and would try to be X's partner too. I did. I was like, hey, no. Like, I would have wanted to be either their partner, because I know that they're capable, competitive-wise, and they're smart, and I know how they think. And I'd rather work with somebody that I know to a T, even if it's, whether it's good or bad, I know, you know, I feel like I know them very well. That's what I wanted, at least. Mm-hmm.
So now, you said when you came into the show, you really didn't know too much. You watched one challenge or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now, now at this point, you've come in, you saw the social part of it. You've come in, you played a challenge, your first challenge, and you've come in and you won an elimination. You are now a challenger. So my question is, what are your steps moving forward with the knowledge that you have now?
Yes. Okay. So one, my steps changed and my perspective changed. I'm not going to lie. When I came in, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm here for the check. And mm-hmm. very quickly after that first challenge daily, I mean, people who are competitive people, you know, it just arose in me. I was just like, no, what am I doing out there? No, you're not somebody who just shows up and quits. Like, you need to figure out how you're going to get through this game and how you're going to win this game. And I started trying to think then and there, like, all right, how am I going to make this work? In that room, we had decided a Big Brother and Survivor would be working together. So my thought process was, I'm going to continue to work as much as I can with Survivor and Big Brother, but I'm honestly really afraid of Sarah, Tyson, and Ben. So I was trying to kind of get a feel out from everyone else of how they felt about them, because I could see that everyone was kind of just like, just basically just catering the game to them, you know? Like, they were just, I was just like, they are literally running circles around us.
And you could see it because they thought that it looked like, and I was so thrilled at the end of the episode, because it definitely looked like Tyson and Angela thought they were just going to coast. Like, they thought, we've teamed it, we figured it out. And it is like, baby, if you know nothing about the challenge, then please know my boy TJ Lavin is going to make you work for it.
Yeah,
and so the idea that you, in day one, day two, have figured it all out, not likely.
You could see the look on Angela's face. She was pissed.
Oh, yeah. And so was Tyson.
I know. Yeah, they had it in the back. And people were already catering, like, to, like, just catering. Just, like, I really do, like, I've come to love both of them, though, actually, though. I honestly, Angela, kind of, I bonded with her the first day. She does cooking as well, too. I like her a lot. But from the guy-wise standpoint, like, I mean, Tyson was just, I was just like, man, this man is just running this game. Like, this man, he has literally everyone eating out the palm of his hand. He's played this game 4 times. And I'm like, how I thought was, I was like, I think probably from the outside, and everyone thinks, well, the cookout is the only large alliance to make it as far as they did, made history and all this stuff. But we also are people who literally a year ago had never even known each other.
Yeah.
And it's the first, like, that was the first time, that was just our first time playing that game. These are people, Ben has played the game 3 times, Sarah's played twice, Tyson's played 4. They've been in these environments so many times, and that life experience is, you can't put a number on that, you know? It's kind of like David versus Goliath with us versus them, in the sense of just the years of experience that they have in being in high stressful environments, you know, that of isolation. Yeah.
Right. I wonder, though, too, if there's something, and we'll know as we continue to watch these episodes, but I wonder if there's something, too, because it's like we say all of this and it's interesting seeing the groups, you know, with the Love Island and Amazing Race and Big Brother and all of that. But when you stick too tight to an alliance, that can get you in trouble, because at some point there's not, the whole group's not going to win. So James, when it got down to it, like, he very quickly started talking to anybody and everybody, and it worked.
It gave me chills. He was like, there's only 3 of us here, and so we can gravitate wherever we want. And I was like, that's how you play. Come on, James. Like, it was just, he started immediately. Like, he was giving very much Big Brother, very much Big Brother.
I was so impressed. I always say this about people. I have no problem saying if I'm scared of them. I was scared of him day one. I was scared of Sarah on day one. I was scared of you. I was scared. And on game level, I was scared of him. I was like, oh, crap. Oh, man. Okay.
You got to give yourself more credit. You're scared of you, bro.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't mind. You know, I joke when I say that. But when I say scared of you, I'm like, ooh, I got to watch out with this one.
Right. Now,
because let me tell you something. You pushed. Baby, when they did the cut two of you with that eyelash down, I said, because my girl is putting in work.
Yes.
My girl is putting in work. She done lost her lash. She don't care. She got work to do.
The eyelash glue gave up, but you did not. And for that, we
did
respect.
Not.
Now, something, I know you said you didn't mean you were really scared. Something you should be scared of is a little segment that we're calling Pick Your Poison.
Bum, bum, bum.
Ooh.
And so basically, there are 3 questions that we have from you, and they come from different sources. So today, your options will be, You can answer question number one, which is a question from me, yours truly, Devin Simone. You can answer question number two, which is a question from the fabulous Devon, or you can answer question number three, which is a combination question from us both. Which question would you like to answer? Some are harder, some are easier. You won't know which one is which, so pick your poison.
Okay, curiosity killed the Cameroonian. I'm picking three.
Okay, you chose. Question number three. Who were you friends with going into the season that you are no longer friends with coming out of the season, and why?
I don't say I'm not friends with anyone now. This is what I can tell you. I will give you just a kind of a rundown of my game relationship, how I felt about it. With Tiffany and me, I was like, yo, like, I told Tiffany, I'm like, girl, like, I'm a loyal person. And as long as you, like, understand that I'm actually going to be loyal to you, like, we'll work great together. So I wanted to work with Tiffany. I'm super cool with Shan. Shan used to live in Maryland. We used to hang out all the time. That's my DMV girl. Super close with her. I was very cool with Kylan. Me and Kylan had a great friendship. We were cool. We were cool. Alyssa, we were cool. But with Alyssa, I always felt on a game level, I feel like Alyssa has the ability to play the game ruthlessly, which is why I always kind of, that type of gameplay doesn't, it's hard for me to be able to work with that gameplay because a genuine relationship, she's not going to care if she's going to be, she has the ability to be ruthless and do what she needs to do to win. So I kind of was like, oh, I don't know, you know, I was with Alyssa. And then with DX, I wanted to work with him. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is finally a chance I'm going to be able to get to work with him, you know, now that I don't have to deal with, you know, with a mission or a burden or anything like that. After the show, I mean, I think a lot of the people who played the game, like people like Shan who played Survivor last year, or people like us who played BB, it was a little bit of like a shock to kind of get back in it again. And I think there is some adjustments with that. I'm still cool with everybody, but I think, you know, these types of environments just get people, you know, I mean, things happen. People say things in the game that they might not mean, or they might not have understanding with. And I'm just in the kind of observation mode. I'm sitting back, eating my popcorn, watching this season. And I feel like from me watching, I'm going to kind of formulate my final opinions on things.
So stay tuned. Bum, bum, bum.
But right now I'm good. I mean, I'm cool with everybody right now, at least I think I am.
Well, there we go. Yeah. That was fun. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for joining us on our inaugural episode of the Official Challenge podcast. And welcome to the Challenge fam. We're so glad to welcome you officially to being a member of the Challenge family. It's always great to have someone who looks so fabulous, especially when fainting as a part of the group. I mean, because girl, really, like, you know, I'm seriously, next time I'm going anywhere where I need to get dolled up, I'll show my makeup artist. Look like that. I want to look like that,
gosh,
but with my eyes
open.
I want to look like
Thank you. No, okay, I have to.
In her fainting
state. I
have
to say this. I joked about it in our cookout group chat. I did not come prepared with the gym. I got booked. The thing I have to get prepared for, my confessional looks and my makeup. I was like, okay,
girl, that's all that matters.
At least I'll get that point.
Girl, duh. I mean, I feel like, you know, people talk about what are things that can help you go far. Personally, I think having some good sweatproof, waterproof makeup, you know, a couple wigs or hair extensions, you know, however, look, I don't think it hurts. And yeah, you did that. So, and we're glad
Thank
to see you. That you made it. It was such a beautiful showing on winning the first elimination of the Challenge USA.
Woo!
No
Thank
one can
you.
Ever take that away from you. That is phenomenal.
Yes, girl.
Thank you so much.
So, Aza, you want to plug your socials? Where can the people follow you? Where can they keep in contact with you?
So, on Instagram, I'm Wonderful World of Oz, A-Z. On Twitter, I'm Aza_Awasam, and that's my same thing on TikTok as well, too.
Hey, make sure you guys go out and follow Miss Aza.
Yes,
it's going to
yes.
be a great season, and we are excited to see what's next in her journey.
Thank you. Such an honor, guys. I'm so happy. So fun.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
You know, everybody has their own wellness routine, their own approach to a healthy lifestyle. A lot of the most successful ones include herbs like ginger root, ashwagandha, and so many others. Nature's Way has been sourcing herbs like those for over 50 years. They understand that nature is the ultimate problem solver, so they're dedicated to providing plant-powered formulas to help people live healthier lives. Their herbs can support your health in so many ways. For instance, ginger root and slippery elm bark have both been used for centuries all over the world. Ginger root has traditionally been used to soothe occasional digestive upset, and slippery elm bark to soothe the GI tract. St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support, which is something we can all use in our modern life. I mean, these herbs come from all over the world, but Nature's Way knows where the best ones grow. They test for potency in their state-of-the-art lab, and their scientists are experts in all things herbs. What's on the label is what's in your bottle, and what's in your bottle are the best herbs around. To learn more, visit naturesway.com.
Oh my gosh, Devon, what, girl, girl, girl. I'm really surprised to hear that Asa was so, intimidated by these other groups, like these alliances. I feel like that'll be really interesting to see play out.
My girl said she trained for 7 days. Well, she didn't even train. She patched for 7 days. So,
she did, but she came out with her first elimination win.
Yes.
On top. It's going to be so fun to see her continue throughout this game. And it's going to be so fun to talk about it with you. I can't wait till we have our next guest on the show. Can't tell you guys who it's going to be, but it's going to be good. So make sure you hit the subscribe button and you listen. And Devon, why don't you tell the people, if they don't already follow you, where can they follow you?
Oh my goodness, you can follow me everywhere. Look, guys, okay? I'm on Instagram at DevonDiane_. I'm also on YouTube at DevonDiane. You can also find me on Twitter at DayDevon_. And then you can find me on TikTok at DayDiane_. That was a lot, but follow me.
That definitely was a lot. But yes, follow her everywhere. You can find me on Instagram at Devon Simone. That's Devon with a Y, Simone with an I. Twitter, also Devon Simone, Devon with a Y, Simone with an I. TikTok, Devon_Simone. But don't get on that, because don't find me on that. I don't really post anything that good. And then on Reddit, I'll find you. So you don't need to go look for me there.
Yes.
But make sure that you follow us. And also send us your listener questions, because we do read them all. And we want to use your questions for the Pick Your Poison segment. So we want to get you guys included. So anything you want to know about the Challenge House or favorite challengers, any topic, whatever it is, drop it in the comments section below on Apple Podcasts, or share it with us directly on social media using the hashtag AskChallengeUSA.
Yes, this is our podcast. We are a family. It's
yes,
me,
ma'am.
Devon, and y'all, it's us. We in this together. So if you like this episode, make sure you rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And tell a friend, a cousin, an auntie, an uncle, your grandmama, somebody, so they can watch us.
Take grandmama's phone and hit the subscribe
yes!
button, because you know she's not going to know how to do it on her own. Hit the subscribe button for her. She'll thank you for it. And make sure you're catching new episodes of The Challenge on Paramount Plus and CBS.
Yes, and we'll see you back here next week for a brand new, exciting episode of MTV's official challenge podcast, Challenge USA Edition.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing.
You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.